Penn State was in a classic football game with Iowa. And please pardon the use of a sports illustration if you don't like sports, but it does get my point across. As Penn State was playing this classic football game with Iowa, Penn State really had no problems moving the ball up and down the field, but they had a lot of trouble getting it in the end zone. Back throughout that game, it was back and forth, tremendous defense. It reminded me the days of Joe Paterno and the yesteryears of Penn State. A lot of gaining ground on the ground, or gaining, yeah, yards on the ground, and, but a low-scoring game. Came down to the very last quarter, and it came down to the very last drive, and Penn State was 4 points down. They hadn't gotten into the end zone. They had over 570 yards in the game, and they got to a fourth down and finally were able to complete the pass to get a first down, and they get down to the goal line just a few yards out, 4 seconds to go, and it's fourth down. Didn't really matter what down it was. They only had one play left. And Penn State was able to make that score in order to win the game. Now, throughout that game, if you watched it and were a fan of either team, you experienced a lot of emotions throughout the game. You had the joy of elation of a first down or of a completion or maybe an interception of the other team. You had the disappointment when your player was stuffed at the line or the other team had made a progress or even a score. Let me ask you, is the happiness that I experienced and some others experienced when they finally made that winning touchdown on the very last play of the game, is that the same as peace? The joy, the elation, is that peace? Did I experience peace at that time? Or did I merely experience an emotion? Yeah, I experienced an emotion. In fact, it's really good for us to differentiate between what is peace and what is an emotion. I want us to understand that peace is not an emotion. It's really a spiritual state of mind. I recognize in that game, while there were joys and there were sorrows, it didn't necessarily mean that I had gotten peace or lost my peace. In fact, probably in honesty, maybe to your condemnation, peace was on the sideline for that game. I wasn't necessarily thinking about my relationship and with the Lord and other things. I was kind of watching the game. I also recognize, and I watched some follow-up to that game, I didn't experience any of the same emotions. Why? Because I already knew the outcome. You know, if you hadn't watched it yet, but if you haven't watched it after 2 weeks, you're not a true fan anyway, so I'm sure you heard the outcome. But if you would say, well, it was a great game, I want to watch that game, you already know the score. If they don't get a first down, you really don't have any emotional. It doesn't matter because you already know they won the game. So are emotions in themselves sinful? Is it sinful to have the emotion of sadness or frustration, or even anger? Is the emotion itself sinful? Not in itself. God has made us. It's part of being made like Him. God has made us into a being that experiences emotion. Maybe some a little too much, and maybe some not enough. But God has made us into emotional beings, and we experience emotions, and the emotions themselves are not sinful. Even the emotion of joy can be sinful when we're happy about the wrong things. If something sinful, a sinful event had happened, or you had the opportunity to participate in sin, and that made you happy, All right, so there is something then with that emotion then that can become sinful. Well, what makes it sinful, or when can it become sinful? I do find this, that if we are experiencing an emotion and now that emotion begins to control our decisions and our thinking and our activity, we have then elevated that emotion to a controlling aspect in our lives. And we've really put it on a sinful level. For instance, let's step away from that game, can we? I don't want us to be imagining and thinking of that game the rest. Let's say we're in a different game or just an event in general, and our team loses. Well, if we're not careful, out of the loss, our anger can cause us to do something because we lost. You yell at someone in the family. You act inappropriately. You commit a sin to kind of soothe your ailing soul, so to speak. All of a sudden now, that emotion has become sinful. Why? Because you use that emotion to get something, a pleasure that you weren't getting out of the loss of a game or whatever it might be. So we have to recognize emotions can lead us to sin, but in and of themselves, emotions are not sinful. So we have to guard our emotions. But let's talk about something, maybe I'd say its counterpart or its opposite. I'm not sure exactly what realm I put in, but let's talk about peace for a little bit. Peace is not an emotion. Again, it's really a spiritual state of mind or a spiritual state of our being. Dr. Martin described peace as tranquility, and that's a great way. It's one of the things, or excuse me, he uses harmony. And that is one of the definitions of that biblical Greek word. It means to be in harmony, or it means to be at one with. You think of hearing a group sing, maybe special music. We would have a ladies ensemble, or we'd have a choir, or we'd have a duo, a duet, or a quartet, or whatever it might be, and they sing, and they're adding their various parts, and while they're not all singing the same note, that blends together in a beautiful harmony. That's peace. That's a definition for peace. The harmony we have is with the Lord. The harmony we have may be with another Christian. We are to be at peace with all men, the Scripture says. And so there is a way in which peace isn't just related between us and the Lord. Peace is also, it's to begin there. And if we don't have it there, we can't expect it anywhere this way. If we don't have it vertically between us and the Lord, we aren't going to have it properly horizontally between us and others. But we have to recognize it's not just vertical, it's also horizontal. And we are to pursue peace as much as possible with all men. So it's a harmony. It's being at one with. It's being blended together. It also has the idea of tranquility. Quietness is another way in which it's used. Sometimes you're in the midst of maybe even a funeral service, and you love that person, and you lost that person, but at the same time you recognize we're not sorrowing as others who have not hope. What was it saying? Well, we're not experiencing emotions on the same level because there's just a quietness, knowing now they're in the presence of the Lord. And another word is rest. You can kind of rest. I'm not saying you, after a loss like that, you'll never have sleeplessness and you'll never have sorrow. But there's an inner state of being because of knowing you're in a right relationship with God, and maybe also knowing that person was in a right relationship with God. There's just a quietness. There's a harmony. There's a tranquility. There's a rest. Where does that come from? It's really what I want to look at today. Look here, Philippians chapter 1. Just look at verse 2. Paul introduces that he and the deacons are writing to this church. And he says in verse number 2 of chapter 1, grace be unto you and peace from who? Peace from God our Father and from who? So, he's saying here, I'm offering you peace and grace. But is he the well of it? Meaning, is Paul the resource? Hey, I've got extra grace and I've got extra peace and I'm writing to you and I'd like to give you some. Is that how it's being written? Or is Paul saying, I want to offer you something, but here's where you get it. You get this grace and you get this peace from God our Father and from the Lord. So he makes it really clear. Both parts of the Trinity can offer to you peace. Now just so you don't misunderstand, the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, are part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5 is peace. And when the Comforter is come. So the whole Godhead has the ability to transfer peace into your life. So the peace that we're offering doesn't come from circumstances, events, games. You'll never, at the end of a game, even if it's a championship and your team wins, you'll never experience peace because of that game. That's an emotion. What we're talking about, something that is of a higher commodity than that. Something that's on a totally different level or a totally different plane. Turn over to chapter 4 with me. I want to show you two more verses before we pray and get into the message. Just for sake of getting there, to set up our two points. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God. So notice again, it's the peace of God. So he says in chapter 1 and verse number 2, I'm offering you grace and peace, and it comes from God. He says in chapter 4, verse number 7, this is the peace of God. Peace is connected with God. Look at the end of verse number 9, the God of peace shall be with you. There is no separating peace from God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian and I don't have any peace. And sometimes we mistake that with this idea, well, I must not be a Christian. I want you to understand this. You can be a Christian and not be at peace because of a broken relationship with God. Sometimes as I go door to door, as Karen and I went out this past Thursday afternoon and knocking on doors, and some of them, instead of asking them if they're a Christian, because you're almost always going to hear the word, yes, or I hope so, but usually yes, or are you going to heaven? You almost, I hope so, or you almost, I ask, do you have a relationship with God? And that kind of catches them off guard a little bit, and I kind of like doing that just because I don't want them to just quickly answer something without any thought. And so I want you to understand that you may be even experiencing happiness because of where you are in life. Your stocks are doing well. You got another car. You got a new job. You got all this happiness, but you may not have peace. I'm going to preach on this next week, really to the difference between happiness and peace and the reason you can have peace even in the midst of sorrow. Because they just don't all seem to blend together. But that's for next week. So you can be experiencing happiness and not have peace. So I want to preach to you today on God's precious commodity of peace. You think of the commodity, something of great value. I want to look at God's precious commodity of peace. Let's pray before we get to our 2 points. Dear Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and what we're not looking for today is happiness on an emotional level just because of experiences or relationships or events in our lives or circumstances. We want something deeper than that, something that's going to remain and reside with us even in the ups and downs of our emotions and of our circumstances and of our relationships and of our health. We want something that will stay with us when our health plummets or when a relationship turns sour or ends, or just an event in our life doesn't turn out the way we want it to, or we lose a job or suffer some financial loss. We want something that's going to stay with us and sustain us and to help us. And so help us to see this connection between you and the peace that Paul was offering these Christians who were going through trials. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in a book that's written to the church of Philippi, who was going through some very difficult times in their lives. And so Paul's opening is something that would probably catch the ear. And we're going to see later his opening of the second book would even, I think, more so catch the ear of the reader, so to speak, or the eye of the reader. And it's this offering of grace and peace. I want you to see, first of all, that, and I want you to notice, if you have the study sheet, you got one of them on the way in, I want you to notice that the "can be" is in a little bit different. It's all capitals. You can be protected by the peace of God. There is a protection that God is willing to provide for you, and it's His peace. Now again, just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're automatically being protected by that peace. We even sang about that in the song. And if you're a non-Christian, you're not a believer in Christ at this point, you don't have this at all. You can't experience this without, because remember, it's the peace of God. It comes from God. You can't have peace from God until you get peace with God. Dear friend, I want you to recognize every one of us have been born sinners. We've been born in sin. We have departed from the womb, committing sin. We need a Savior. And that Savior takes away our sins, and the way He did so was dying on the cross for our sins. And so, because when we trust in Christ, God doesn't just see us as who we are. He now sees Christ in us. And we receive the forgiveness of sins and are able to go to heaven. So dear friends, recognize that if you don't have that peace, it may be because you don't have a relationship at all with God. So you can be protected by the peace of God. Well, let's look here in the context in which I see this. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. Again, he's writing to a church that has gone through some trials. And look what he says in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That idea is don't worry about or don't give thought to. So he's saying don't give thought to anything. But be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, plural, be made known unto God. And so as you're praying, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep the idea of guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So notice again the connection. This is through Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. So here is a Christian, what he's offering. He says, take that trial in your life, that difficulty that is bringing sadness or bringing heaviness, as he talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll get to next week. Whatever is bringing heaviness into your life, take it and give it to the Lord. And then what He'll do is in exchange for that, He'll give you peace, which passeth all understanding. So again, what he's saying is, you give me your emotion and you give me your trial, you give me your heartache, and this is what I'll do. I'll give you this in exchange, an exchange rate. Boy, what an exchange rate we have with God. He said, I'll give you peace. Now remember, that's not an emotion. Now, peace can cause an emotion. That peace can cause you to be overjoyed. That peace can cause you to just be filled with joy. But in itself, it's just a state of mind, a spiritual state of mind, knowing that we're right with God. And in a sense, going back to my opening illustration, we already know the final score. One little word shall fell him. We sing that about our arch enemy Satan. And one day God is going to take his son, and it seems like there's going to be this huge battle at the end after the millennial reign of Christ. There seems like, boy, here's the epic battle. Let's all meet. Let's go get on Mount Carmel, and we're going to watch in the valley as Christ comes and clashes with Satan. Dear friend, there isn't going to be much of a battle, because there's no comparison. God created Satan. And with just a word, he's going to be cast into the everlasting fire. And so we have to recognize that peace comes from knowing the final score. And no matter the heartaches and the difficulties of this life, we know this: I'm a child of God. And nothing can pluck me out of my Father's hand, and nothing can pluck me out of my Savior's hand. And you say, well, Pastor, can't we pluck ourselves out? Well, the Bible says in Corinthians that godly repentance is a repentance that will never be repented of. And so if you're really a child, you'll never want to be plucked out of His hand. And so here I am, foreverly secured, foreverly. Put that in the dictionary, won't you? That goes in the Schweitzer dictionary. I am making great words up as I speak. You are foreverly bound in a relationship, an inseparable relationship with God. And knowing one day you'll be with Him for all eternity, and all the tears will be wiped away, and all that is the peace that can reside even though the trials take you up and down. And that peace comes from God. So you can be protected by the peace of God. Listen to these verses. You might want to jot down the reference. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he said, I'm going to give you with peace. I'm going to leave you with peace. It's nothing like the world can give you. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Wouldn't you be kind of fearful Christ is about to leave you, and you had just spent all that time with Him and you needed Him? He says, you don't have to fear. And he goes on to say, I'm going to give you a comforter. Listen to what it says in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. So he says, it's in me, through me, your relationship with me. So in the world you have tribulation, but in me, he says, you'll have peace. Listen to this great verse, Psalm 29:11. The Lord, write that reference down. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. So again, it's all flowing from Him. You say, well, you know what? On my list here of what I need for today is grace, and I need some peace, and I need some mercy. Well, dear friend, it's all at the same reservoir. It's all at the same stop. You get it all in your personal relationship with God. You can't get it from your pastor. You can't get it from your husband or your wife. You can't get it from your, you can't even get it from your grandchildren. You can only get it from God. He is the only one that has strength that will carry you in your weakness. He's the only one that can pity you when you deserve to be judged. He is the only one that can give you harmony in the midst of broken health, relationships, finances, circumstances. He can give you a harmony, and it's from Him alone. This peace is from God. Keep your hand here and turn more toward the back of your Bible to 2 Peter for a moment. Just for a moment. I want you to see this, though. 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3, John, Jude, and Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter's now writing to people in trials. And he's going to offer them this great hope. Where he says in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, these are familiar. You've heard us talk about them. If you've been in counseling, you've probably heard these verses. Grace and peace be... What does that mean? What does it mean, multiplied? Well, if you take something and just... You're not just adding, you are now putting resource on top of resource. It's not just getting a little bit more peace and a little bit more grace. It's being multiplied. It's being maximized. Well, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Here's the next big word, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Remember what he said. Paul said earlier to the church of Philippi, grace and peace be unto you from God and from. Well, here he's saying it's through a knowledge of. That's why Christians who are walking with the Lord and Christians who are growing in their relationship often experience more peace than others. Or you have two people in a similar relationship and they've lost a similar item or person and one has peace and the other doesn't. Well, it's because they've been saved longer and their deeper relationship with the Lord, and this newer Christian over here just kind of feeling it all out. And wow, they don't understand. Why do you have such peace? Because it comes through knowing God. So if you're a Christian and you're not experiencing the level of peace you'd really desire to have, you need to know God better. So that means more reading, more studying, more sermons. That may mean bumping it up a level, and instead of just going to Sunday morning church, say, you know what, we need some Sunday school here. Or we need to be coming back Sunday night. Or we need to add to this Wednesday night. Because I'm needing a greater knowledge of God. Because the more knowledge I have of Him, the greater the opportunity to have peace in my life. He goes on. He doesn't stop there. And I don't want to stop there. So let's just look at it quickly here. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. So He's already given us this. It's a lot of times we just don't know about it. All things that pertain to life and godliness through, look at it again, the knowledge of Him that hath called us to. So He says again, you're going to get this peace, and it's going to be from God, and it's going to be having a deeper knowledge about Him. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. On my finger here is a ring that I got from my princess. A wedding band. It's not too circular anymore. I need to go to jeweler and kind of correct its shape here. But my princess gave this to me 31 years ago. Guess what? I don't love any of you enough to give it to you. Because she gave it to me. There's none of you in here I love enough that I'd be willing to say, okay, I'll give it to you. Well, when God gives us peace, why do we allow others to take it from us? If peace comes from God, let's say it represented in this ring, God gives you peace. Why are you allowing your health to take it and throw it away? Why are you allowing your finances, your job, your relationship with someone? I mean, why are you allowing them to take your peace? I understand it might bring sadness, it might bring the emotion, but it should never take your peace. And the problem is, sometimes as Christians, we're allowing others to rob us of what God gave to us. And that makes me recognize that my love for Him isn't great enough if I'm allowing somebody else to take from me what He gave me. You can't have my ring from my princess. I don't care who you are. Because it represents our relationship. Don't allow a mate, a child, a neighbor, an unsaved co-worker take from you what God's given you. I can understand you're going to go through emotions, but again, our living shouldn't be controlled by our emotions. We should be settled on the fact that I'm at peace with God. And I might lose all my money. I might lose my car. I might lose my home. I might lose my job. But I've got peace with God. And that's a precious commodity I don't want to give up. Take everything else from me. Paul came to those difficult words in the book of Romans. He says, if I could, I'd give it up just to see you saved. In fact, if you read those verses, he makes it really clear. He's like, I'm going to just share with you something you won't believe, but this is truly how I feel. I'd be willing to give up my relationship with God so that you could get saved. That's what Paul says. And he doesn't say it very lightly. And so, dear friend, whatever you're going through right now, it can affect your emotions, but it should never impact your peace. And if what it's doing is driving your emotions so strongly that you're not only losing it emotionally, you're losing your peace, then your focus shouldn't be, okay, now I need to really work on this relationship with him then. I need to really work on my relationship with her then because of them I'm losing. No, you need to work on your relationship with God. Because there's where you get it back. If someone else stole it, you don't get it back from them. You've got to get it back from God. It's getting back into a right relationship. That's what will restore the peace. It's not getting back to them and say, all right, I need to correct because they keep stealing my joy and my peace and my relationship with God is impacted because... No. It's impacted because you're failing in your relationship with God. And it's just not people that do this to us. It's circumstances. It's health. I think sometimes what we do is equate peace and joy. And I want you to know, while there are some parallels, they're on two terribly different planes, two different levels. So don't allow life to take from you what God can only give you. So you can be protected by the peace of God. And I need to move on. And you know I need to. But dear friend, I want you to know, when you take these situations and give them over, Lord, He says, here's what I'll give you. I'll help guard your heart and your mind. Why? Because if unguarded, your heart and your mind are going to go into sin. And He says, here's how I'm going to guard it. I'm going to put this protective shell around it, and it's going to be my peace. And that's going to protect your heart and your mind from going the wrong direction because of the trials that you're going through. But not only that, but you can be, notice again the emphasis, point number two, not only protected by the peace of God, but by the God of peace. Did you notice the difference? Did you think about the difference? Have you ever read through Philippians 4 and thought about what he's saying, something different in verse number 9 than what he said in verse number 7? In verse number 7, he's saying this. He's saying, when you give me the trials, I'll give you my peace. I'll give you the peace, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So it's the peace of God. He's giving you peace, and it comes from God. But after you think on these things, those things which are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse number 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. It's the gift is God. It's not just, I'm going to give you my peace and send you on your way. He says, I'll be with you. He's promising actually something totally different here in verse number 9. In verse 7, he's saying, I'll give you peace. In verse 9, he says, I'll give you myself. What a gift. What a gift to know that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a gift to know, no matter what you go through, I not only have the peace that comes from God, I have the God that gives the peace. Turn to Psalm 57. We're going to close there, so you don't have to worry about coming back to Philippians chapter 4. But think further as you're closing or turning there. Think about this. He is offering something different. He's offering something beyond. He's not just saying, I'll give you peace. He said, I'll give you myself. By the way, He's the God of peace, not because He needs it, but because He gives it. He doesn't need peace. He gives peace. So He's the God of peace. And the God who gives peace shall be with you. So what? No matter what you go through, you're out there in the ambulance, and I heard they had an accident this week, and some various things happening, and you just got over fair week, and boy, they're crazies out there at the fair. Whatever you are in life, He can give peace, and the God of peace goes right with you. You go into that meeting you're concerned about, you don't know how the management's going to handle it, or maybe you are the management, and not sure how it's all going to work out. He's not only going to give you peace, He's going to go with you. I love this psalm, Psalm 57. Look what David prays. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. In the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. So here's a man in calamities who's also in a relationship with God. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to secure the fact of his peace by recognizing, yes, I'm in calamity, but I have you right here to protect me. Look what it says in verse number 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He sendeth from heaven. He begins verse 3 and ends it by this way. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Look what it says in verse 4. My soul is among lions. Look what it says in verse number 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. Here is a man in tremendous trials. But here he is huddled like a little chick under the wing of the Almighty God. And he goes on to say, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Can you picture it? There, a little bird chirping a song out from under the wing of its mom. And there we are in Christ, and there we are huddled under the shadow of His wings, and we're singing praise even though the calamities are all about us and above us. There is something closer than the calamities. It's the wing of our Father protecting us, giving us a place of tranquility, a place of harmony, a place of quietness, a place of rest. And he's saying, no matter if my enemy still is casting the net, and no matter if the trials are still going on about me, and no matter if my soul is among the lions, my God is closer, and I will sing and give praise. Dear friend, as a Christian, and I'm speaking to Christians, don't allow anyone or anything take that from you. It's a commodity that only God can give. It's that peace and quietness of a close, contented relationship with God. You'll experience the emotional ups and downs. You'll experience the triumphs and the defeats. But don't allow anything or anyone to take the settled peace of God, which passeth all understanding, or the God of peace from your life. That means we got to react and respond differently. What he says or what she does angers you. You have that emotion. Well, if you're not careful, you respond out of the emotion. You respond because of how you feel emotionally. But you as a Christian have to quickly get your mind resettled and refocused and say, you know what? I am feeling this way, but I don't want to really negotiate at all with my peace. And in the end, God who performeth all things well for me, I know the end score. And one day He's going to wipe all this away. So I'm not going to respond because of how I'm feeling emotionally right now. And maybe what you need to do, instead of saying anything, you know, the heart studieth the answer. Instead of saying anything, you need to get alone with the Lord a little bit. And decide, before I respond to that person, I'm going to talk to the Lord. And I'm going to make sure my words are right and my spirit is right. You get that doctor's report, and instead of allowing the emotions of the word cancer or whatever it may be, Aline just had a throat surgery on Wednesday, very sore throat this morning. She's still here, praise the Lord. And she doesn't know the outcome of that surgery until tomorrow. But no matter what she hears, and I don't expect to hear cancer as Aline gets that report tomorrow. But no matter what the report is, we got to say, you know what? No matter what emotion I can't respond according to how I feel. As a Christian, again, you need to stop and think. Okay, wait a second. I'm in Christ. No one can take that from me. No matter what might happen to the body, no one can touch my soul. And I'm going to respond according to the peace that God has given me. You go through a financial ruin. Again, you think, man, all the years, all the sacrifice, all the work that I put into this company, you might even have contempt or hatred if you're not careful for those who have robbed it from you, those who have stabbed you in the back, those who are mistreating you. And you got to recognize, wait a second, there's somebody in my affliction is afflicted. There's somebody who in this can give me strength and peace. Psalm 29:11. And there's somebody actually who can multiply my strength and my peace. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. So instead of me allowing this person or this company to take away my peace that only God can give me, I'm holding on to that. And I'm going to respond in a way that pleases Him. God's precious commodity of peace. Don't give it away. Let's pray.